roofs. They have shingles. So everybody understands what shingles are, right? Okay, let me just break this down for you so you understand. This, not the shingles. I got pain because I got shingles. If you had chicken pox, you have the virus. No, but I'm talking about the techo. Roof. The roof is on fire. The roof. The roof. The roof is on fire. Now watch this. The wind comes. See what happens when I don't eat? Dang it. The shingle begin to lift. And if those come off of your roof, now there's no more protection for the roof. Because they're designed to take the impact of hail. Right? Are you hearing me? So when the wind comes, it begins to remove some of the protection that is in your life that is actually there for you. But if God is sending the wind and the storm in your direction, what is going to cover you? Have you ever felt some things are being stripped away from you that should have been there to protect you? We go through that. Some of y'all came from different churches to come here. Did you not? Okay, because if y'all belong to another church, you're connected, right? But sometimes there's some things that go on in your life to say, you know, I'm hearing God say I need to go here, or maybe I'm being led here, or maybe I just don't want to go no more. Because the wind is so strong. I remember I was a little kid. I was probably about third or fourth grade. There was a storm coming, and it was just me and my mom, because my dad was, I think he was out of town, or he was working. And there was a car. Remember the car? She had a 98 Regal or whatever it was. It was a red car. But anyways, so my mom and I are living in an apartment, second floor. We're so scared. You remember that? We went to your house. So we drive over there because we're scared, right? Get over here. Stay with us. And so I'm a little kid. Like, what's going on? And I see trees. What in the world? So we pull up to the front of her house. And I remember getting out of the car and running, leaving Mama behind. And then my aunt comes out the door. Get your mom! And it was like, we couldn't close the door. And when we would try to run our hardest, we couldn't even run because the wind was coming against us. This is the most scariest feeling that you can ever have, is when you're trying to run away into safety, into the arms of your Father, but you can't get there because the adversity is keeping you away. The wind was so strong. I saw leaves everywhere. I remember that. It scared the daylights out of me. Hell. It was so scary, but I could see the door. The door is like from here to that wall, and it took forever to get there. Her husband had to go and grab us and pull us because we're trying to run like this, and it's pushing me. I remember this very vividly. You're hearing that this is not a story that I made up. So scared. And then we get in the house. And as soon as we get in the house, I remember the door going, pow, closing real hard. And here it came. But we made it. I'm glad you said what you said. Because sometimes it takes somebody else that's already there to reach out to somebody that's in and to bring them in. We have to reach for that. We see so many people that are hurting, but we don't want to reach them and bring them into light, safety, security in the Father. We leave them there. That's what you get. Isn't it crazy? We're laughing because we're in church. I wouldn't have done that. You've done it a couple times before. Well, you must have been doing something for you to have that. And they're going through. We've been there. We've been the recipient of somebody, the Bible thumper, you know. And they're the ones, you're in sin. That's why God did that to you. No, that's not my daddy. My daddy reaches in from safety into the place that I need him to come in and brings me into safety. The wind may come to try to take away what is there to protect you, but God's arm will always reach to bring you into safety. He said when the wind and the rain came, the one that was wise and did the word was built strong and fortified. Don't be reading your Bible just to read your Bible just because you want to quote scriptures. Don't do that. If you notice, I struggle to find out where the scripture is. In the book? In the Bible? The word? It says somewhere in scripture? Because even the devil told Jesus, partial of the word. So what is me telling you exactly where it's located? If every Bible was the same in page 1976, turn there. I told Inez the other day, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell him, turn to the book of Free Willy. Some of y'all have been. Nobody looking for Willy. But we only open the Bible on Wednesdays and Sundays. But the thing is, if we don't get into the Word to understand and then operate out of the Word, you're not doing it. You're building your foundation of church and God on sand. But when you get the Word and you build it on a firm foundation, the relationship and the Word connected together, it begins to birth something out of you. There's some kiddos in the room, right? Raise your hand. All the kids in the room, raise your hand. Kids in the room. There's kids in the room, right? You were birthed because of purpose. Nothing happens on accident. Not one of you are accidents. You're purposed. And because you have purpose, it took mom and dad to have relationship, covenant, should be covenant, but covenant, okay? Intimacy to birth something. There's too many people that do this and read it, or they study it and they study it and study it, but they never put it to use. They're building their foundation on sand. Because if God proved it, that Jesus himself, the Son of the living God in his flesh, came down and the devil tempted him with the word, you'll hear a preacher say, you better know your word because the devil's going to tempt you. No, you better know Jesus. You better have a relationship with Jesus. When the storm comes, you ain't going to know what kind of scripture to throw him. You're just going to say, Jesus. And guess what? He's going to reach, grab you, and pull you in. I know what I'm telling you. Don't ever get in a relationship just because someone said so. Those kids, raise your hand again. Raise your hands. You know what? Forget this. Kids, stand up. Stand up, kids. Stand up. Okay. I said stand up. Stand up. Y'all are young. What's this? Oh, I can get that for some of the older folks. Like, oh. Hey. You youngins, just jump up. Now watch this. Now watch. Oh, that's good. You know what? Stand right there. You're somebody's kid. You know what? John, I'm going to. Hold up. Listen up. Listen up. He's a kid. Déjalo. Mira, mijo. Mira, mijo. I'm going to arrange a marriage for you, and you're going to marry who I say you're going to marry. I'm going to arrange a marriage for you, and I'm going to tell you who you're marrying, who you're marrying, who you're marrying, who you're marrying, and who you're marrying. I'm going to make sure that you understand you can't go date nobody. I'm going to tell you who you're going to marry. I'm going to tell who you're going to marry. I'm going to tell you who you're going to marry. How many of y'all would like that? Why not? Why isn't it fair? You don't know the person. You don't know the person. And why are you going to make me marry somebody that I don't know? But why? Yeah, I can sit down. Thank you, guys. Thank you. But why is it that we come to church, I'm in love with Jesus, Wednesdays and Sundays? Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm having an affair. Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Because if you don't spend time with them at home, but only in a place of worship, that's not committing, just committing relationship. It's committing adultery. to the lover. None of y'all like the fact that I said I'm going to arrange the marriage for you, because you don't know the person, right? Jesus knows us. He wants us to know him. How do we get to know him? One of them is the word. That's one. The other one, thank you, is prayer. What do you think the other one is? Who said that? Intimacy. Now watch this. Now my wife, I can do this, but I'm married. Stand up, baby. Stand up, baby. When we're dating, it's all hunky dory. Woo-hoo! You find your sucky. Woo-wee! She fine. That's how y'all got here, but it's all right. Look here, look here. I love you. Die for you. But I know we've only been dating for a little while. If I was to treat you bad during the time that you and I are dating, would you marry me? Why not?
Because you treat me bad.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But why is it we'll take somebody treating us bad and go ahead and get married? You've already seen the signs. You've already seen the fruit. But we decide to go ahead and do it after all. Now, what if I said, I want to get to know you. I want to know more about you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And I want to get to know the things that you desire so we can do it together. After we've spent some time together getting to know each other, I want to ask your hand in marriage. Would you marry me?
That was a lot to process. Hold on.
It wasn't that a lot to process? Wasn't it a lot? That's a lot to process.
What I was thinking was, okay, well, those are just words that he's saying to me, right? So you got to back it up. Hey, I said my part. No.
Don't tell me the sweet nothings. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Prove it. Show me, baby. Show me. Show me. What do you think God is saying? Don't tell me you love me. Show me. Don't give me lip service. Show me. Don't tell me you love me. Show me. Don't tell me you're going to worship me. Show me. Come on. You have got to know the creator that created you, that went to the cross just for you. But because of you, he got up off the cross. He went to the grave just for you. But he came out of the grave just for you. He went down to hell just for you. But he came up out of hell for you as well. Why? Because he made everything personal because he loves you as the person that he created. There is nobody like you. Not anybody in this world will ever be you. Ever. Because he made you special. When you say you love Jesus, maybe you've got to have a relationship and let that be the foundation of it. Don't say all these sweet nothings and all these empty words. Many of us are getting swept off our feet. I'm just going to kind of use this analogy as dating. There's other religions that come in and they speak a lot of the love, a lot of unity. They'll speak a lot of God, but they won't speak of Jesus or the blood or the resurrection. But because your ears want to be tickled, you go to it. Thank you, because you don't know what's in it. And what happens is we choose something that is not healthy, and it takes us away from the one that loved you so much that he died for you, but he loved you so much he got up again. I don't care what religion is out there. I'm not bashing them, but I know truth. I know the truth about Jesus Christ, that he loved me, that he came down from heaven to save me. I make my relationship because of what he is in my life. He's my God. He's my Lord. He's my friend, and he's my daddy. And what I hold God high in regards, I can't expect you to hold him that way. You need to find a way that you can hold God in your life. Don't let anybody come in and try to tickle your ears with something that sounds like a good religion that you're going to follow because you're not getting manifestations in the Christian walk with God. It's hard. It's hard. It had been hard. But if you notice lately, there's a lot of people coming back to church now. Why? Because the Spirit is releasing grace and mercy as opposed to condemnation and judgment. If you ever hear anybody come to condemn you or judge you, you know that's not the Spirit of God. God will never do that to you. God will only come to you, speak to you through your spirit so that you understand maybe you're doing something wrong, but he'll give you a way out. He'll never bash you down, never. The content is what you need to listen to. Remember on Sunday, I was telling you, if you never heard God before, you're going to hear him today. The content in which he speaks to you is you know that it's God. Amen. We have only did the first couple notes. I promise to keep you guys just 5 more minutes. That's it, and then I'll finish it the next couple of weeks. This will be a series on the rocks. Because the first on the rocks usually is kind of weak, but the second one is a little bit stronger. I'm talking about the message. Y'all are bad. See, y'all go right to that. Y'all go right to that. What is on the rock? The truth, the word of God, it will stand even after the storm. The word of God will stand even after the storm. Have you ever built sandcastles out on the beach? Have you ever seen those big contests that they do, how they build those elaborate castles? They spend a lot of hours, very meticulous, right? Will it stand? Guess what holds it together? Where's the Holy Spirit? But when the wind comes and the rain comes, the waves come in, it's gone. After all that hard work, it looked pretty. Some of us took a lot of pictures. I remember we went down to Florida, and they had these huge displays, huge. Wow, that's amazing. And did all that work, and it won't stand the time. Some of us need to learn that the foundation needs to be built on a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you the first 3 points, and then I'm going to go into it next week and the following weeks after that. I thank you for being patient with me. My son is playing football on Wednesdays, and I made a promise that I will always go to his games. Always. That my family comes first before this church. Some of y'all may not like that. Here's the truth. It's God in my life, my wife, my children, then my extended family, and then the church. That's the way you should be. Now, some of y'all, I'm going to address that spirit. I just heard it right now. Well, that means I don't have to come on Sunday. This family date. Yeah, get your family here. It's my only day off. Good, that's the only time you can get God. Come on. If you get the mandate order of God in your life, when it's put in order, you're in order to receive. But when you're out of order, you're not in place in order to receive. So I made a promise to my son, I will always be at your games. And the first thing out of his mouth, what about church? Well, if nobody wants to take the position, we'll shut it down so we can go. My son, my family are very important to me. And that's the way you should look at your family. Very important. Don't get out of balance, guys. Don't. There's some things that you can do, and there's some things that you can't do. And I understand that. That's why I told someone today, I never call anybody that misses church. That's not. Look, y'all are adults. This is a church. It didn't say daycare out there. Church. Love you guys, but you're adults. When you put this to work, you'll see the results of it. Amen. I want you to write this down if you're writing, taking notes. Number one, the past will lead you back into captivity. The past will lead you back into captivity. Number two, the person or persons that hurt you in your past will continue to hurt you if your mind lets it live on. I'll read that again. The person or persons that hurt you in your past will continue to hurt you if your mind lets it live on. Give me an example. If you've been hurt when you were in a relationship that hurt you really bad, if you don't let your mind let it go, you're going to live out that relationship in your new relationship. It continues to live on. So in other words, get rid of the pain by releasing them, by asking for forgiveness, even if you did nothing wrong. Even if you did nothing wrong, forgive me. And then just move on. Remember I told you forgiveness releases the bonds that you're connected to with that individual? And you're set free, and it's up to them to realize what they got to go through for themselves. Forgiveness is for you. But if you bring in your mind what took place in your past that hurt you, you'll make it continually live on in your mind, and you'll hurt others in the relationship. Remember, are you on the rock or on the rocks? Number two, the person or persons that hurt you in your past will continue to hurt you if your mind lets it live on. Number three, always build on a foundation that is proven solid. Always build on a foundation that is proven solid. Just to let you know, I had this message about 3 weeks ago in the sauna when I work out, so I hear God. And he gave me this, on the rocks, we're on the rock. So I began to study it and show me, so God, what is this about? He says, my people continue to go back to their past. My people continually try to build something on a self-help type of teaching. But they never go back to the word. Or they never come back to me. They don't run to me. They run to something else that is not as hard. Those are the 3 points that I'm going to make with you. The reference to that is Philippians 3, 12 through 21. Write that down. Philippians 3, 12 through 21. I will wrap this up the next couple of weeks. I do want to spend some time on it. Out of these 3 things that I've shared with you, you're going to receive 3 keys. One of them to the kingdom of God is repentance. Number 2 is acceptance. And number 3, dependence. Repentance, acceptance, and dependence. I'm going to read Matthew 7:24-27 again. Everyone that then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Matthew 7:24-27. I want you to take notice on the very end of that it says, and great was the fall of it. You read that? So in my closing, I want to share with you that the times that you build on something, make sure you're building it on a solid foundation and relationship. That relationship must be in God through Jesus Christ, his son. We can't negate Jesus. Many people say, well, I believe in God, but if you negate Jesus, you can't get to the Father unless you go through God, through Jesus, the Son. You can't. So many religions are being developed, coming out of all kinds of things, and they're negating Jesus to get him pulled out of the scriptures or out of their foundational truths. And what they're saying is you can get God by yourself. Jesus himself said, no man can get to the Father unless he comes through me. Well, you must understand that Jesus wants what he actually gave you was him. How he wants that is to make himself a part of your life. He wants to engage with you. He wants to spend time with you because he wants to show you how much he loves you. He's not going to hurt you, but don't bring your past into you now. Because he's not going to hurt you. There's people in this room that have had pains because of relationships that were built on rocks, not the rock. And the relationships continually come forth, but yet you wonder, how do I move on to the next one? Do I bring what I remember from the old so that I can go into the new, but to mess it up the same way I messed up, or they messed up the old? Is your relationship on Jesus built on the rock, or is your relationship with Jesus on the rocks? Because sometimes you can be footed on some rocks, but it's not sure-footed. Because each rock can go in a different direction. But the solid rock, the foundation of truth, never moves. Never moves. We must understand that God wants to reveal the true identity of his son Jesus Christ to you. And he wants you to understand that he loves you. He'll never hurt you. He'll never lead you astray. He just wants to love you. In the loving, he wants to nurture you. As he nurtures you, he's going to help you to grow. We can plant seeds all day long. We can water it too. But the only one that causes it to grow is God. It's God. We have to keep putting seed. Maybe we'll water it with prayer, love, an embrace, a hug. But he's the only one that can make it grow. I can't make it grow in God. The only thing I can do is present to you truth, which is scripture. And anything I say that challenges you, go to the word on it. Trust me, it's there. Because I told God, anything that I do that is not in accordance to your word, you can strike me down, take me home. I don't want to do something like that. I'm going to tell you what's in the word, and it's up to you to put it to use. We're going to rebuild the walls, guys. The church is going to stand strong. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. It's going to stand strong because we're not going to build it on condemnation and judgment, but grace and mercy. And the pure foundation will be the love of God. And upon that foundation, we can build an enormous church. And that church won't have any walls. It'll have a covering, and it'll have a foundation. Because you will be the pillars for that foundation. The beautiful thing about Jesus is there is no limitations. None. The enemy has tried to limit you, try to keep you. And just when you think it's about to run out, somebody needs to hear this. Just when you think it's about to run out, he opens up a window. And he pours it out. He pours it out to you. And all of a sudden, what you were in lack, you are now in abundance. What you were sinking in is what you're going to be floating in. What you were lacking, you're going to have abundance. I know the Spirit of God is speaking, guys. Maybe it's not prolific. Maybe it's just too easy. Then there shouldn't be any excuse why you couldn't apply it. Plan for us is to make us grow. I'm talking about you, life. You may carry with you an issue called negativity. You may try to be positive in every area of your life, but negativity follows you. You bring in pessimism as opposed to optimism. God says, would you quit bringing your past and trust me in the future and let go? Can we let go? Can we let go? Don't give me the sweet yeses. Show him. Show him. How, God? Just like I showed you how to hear God. Ask him. Be silent to hear. Listen to the content of what he tells you. Then you'll begin to hear what he wants you to hear. Amen. As they pass out the envelopes for the tithes and offering, as Josh is playing, I want you to search your heart, guys. Really search your heart. You know that there's someone in need right now in your family or your area of influence. I want you to write that name on your seed.